Amen. I'm so glad I'm saved. Amen. And saved forever. Never going to be lost. Amen. Thank God that we have a wonderful Savior.
Amen.
Jesus is a wonderful Savior. Amen. Well, I'm going to get into the message tonight. We're in Matthew chapter number 5 and continuing through these he say statements here in Matthew chapter number 5. And Pastor said he was confident that we were going to hear some truth tonight, and I'm glad he is, because I'm not so confident, right? I'm just joking. I really believe that I've got what the Lord intended here in the Scripture, but I will be transparent with you. Those of you that don't realize it, I thought we'd got past the hard stuff. Man. This Sermon on the Mount just keeps getting harder and harder. And I thought we got past divorce. We was getting over the hump and sailing downhill, but that's not so. And so there's a lot of false teaching that comes from the Sermon on the Mount. And I hope tonight somehow I can kind of show you some of that. And it's very important that we understand the context in which this is being taught, and also the intent. And we've been looking at that. And I really believe, I told my wife this week, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. But
Brother Dave.
Yes, sir. Am I not on?
I'm not.
All right. Thank you. I was telling my wife this week, and I hope you understand what I'm saying, that when I began these series of messages here in Matthew chapter 5, these hearsay, he say messages, I began to study them, and I didn't prepare my messages way in advance. I've mentioned that to you before. I wish I was more organized, and I could tell you that I know where we're going 2 months from now, but I don't, okay? And so I'm just taking it week by week, and I'm learning as I'm preaching it, and God's been teaching me some things. But the way the Holy Spirit can, I really believe that God led me in the right direction at the very beginning, and it's helped the whole way through. And I think you understand what I'm saying here in a minute. And that is this, and I keep repeating it, but I think it's so important and it needs to be repeated. What Jesus is teaching here in Matthew chapter 5 is about the heart. It's about the heart. And the more I study these passages here, and we're getting close to getting through these, and you say, man, it seems kind of repetitive. Well, I think it's very important. I thought about actually combining this one and the next one, the fifth and the sixth hearsay versus he say, because they're so closely connected, but I felt that I wouldn't do them justice if I did that. And so I'm going to preach this one tonight, Lord willing. We'll look at the next one next Sunday night, and then we will begin into chapter number 6 and kind of change gears a little bit. But I do want to finish out this hearsay versus he say, and I want to look at this precept that we're looking at tonight. Look at verse number 38. The Bible says this, Jesus, again, speaking to those that are listening to him, I think in particular his disciples, and he's teaching them here up on the sermon, he's preaching up on the mount, what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, right? And Jesus is correcting some teaching that is spreading in their day, right? He corrected their thinking early on, and now he's correcting their teaching. And in verse number 38, the Bible says, once again, it has this statement, ye have heard. Jesus said, there's something you've heard. Hearsay, right? You got to be careful about hearsay. A lot of hearsay going on in Christianity today. But it's not important. Hearsay is not important. He say is. And I know that's not good English, and I know that's not good grammar, but I'm just telling you, hearsay is not near as important as what he said. And Jesus says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say. So Jesus is saying something that is in opposition to what they say. And I want to, again, tonight point out the fact that Jesus is not correcting the Old Testament. He said in verse number 20, he said, I say unto you, in verse number 17, he said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law of the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So when you're reading through this, you have to keep in mind that Jesus is not here to destroy the law and the prophets. There's a lot of false teaching in the Sermon on the Mount because people say, and I mean good people say, that Jesus is correcting the law or Jesus is giving a new law. No, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. He said, I came to fulfill it. And so Jesus is not correcting the law. He's correcting the way that the law is being taught. That's very important that we understand that. And so first we want to see the precept. And much like the other examples that the Lord has given, this one can cause a lot of confusion if we don't keep in mind the focus of what's being discussed. And that is an external righteousness as opposed to an internal righteousness. That's very important. As we've looked through these over and over, we've seen the scribes and the Pharisees were always focused on the external. And Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. He said, you have to have an internal righteousness. It's far more important. The heart is far more important than the actions. Now, if it's on the inside, it will make its way out. But in this precept, much like the others, if we don't keep that in mind, we'll get real confused. And so I just wanted to make that clear as we start out. But as the other precepts were, this is a correct precept. It's found in Exodus 21, 24. It's found in Leviticus 24, 20. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse number 21. I want to have you turn there real quick, if you would. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 19. We're not going to look at all these tonight, but I want to look at Deuteronomy chapter number 19. Because I want you to see something that I think is very important as we look at this precept that Jesus is correcting the teaching of. Deuteronomy chapter number 19. We'll start reading in verse number 15. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity, for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord. This is important. Before the priests, and look at this, and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he hath thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear. This is important. That's why it's so important that the teeth of the law is not removed. Okay, that's not what the Sermon on the Mount is teaching. There's some, and we'll get into that here in a moment. There's so much, I'm not going to be able to cover it all. I'm just going to do my best to give you the main point of this message. But there's a lot of people that will take this teaching in the Sermon on the Mount that we're looking at, and they'll try to take the teeth out of the law. And Jesus is not saying, take the teeth out of the law. Right. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. The law is right. The law is good. Jesus actually said the law is perfect. That's right? That's what the Bible says. We've talked about the law. The law is there for our protection. Much like it is in our society today. And I know the teeth of our law has been removed in many cases. But the law is for protection. The law is for prosperity. Where there is no law, things are not good. You remember the book of Judges, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes, there was no law, trouble. And I'm telling you, one of the big reasons that our country's in the trouble, one of the reasons, not the main reason, but one of the reasons our country is in the mess it's in today is because the law, the teeth has been taken out of the law. The protection. The prosperity. It all goes together, right? But look at it in Deuteronomy. He says, then shall you do unto him as he hath thought to do unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you, and those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. Verse 21 says, and thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. So there it is in the Old Testament law. You can go back to Matthew chapter number 5. I wanted you to see that because what I wanted you to see was, and I emphasized, and I've already had you turn away from it, but it talked about the judges. When you find this precept in the Old Testament, whether it's in Exodus, whether it's in Leviticus, whether it's in Deuteronomy, you will find a reference to the judges. The Old Testament law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was given to the judges of Israel to protect the people so that people would fear, right? And so what had happened, it was a correct precept. And can I say that it still is? I don't think that I really need to say that in this crowd, but in case there's someone in here that would think that it's not, it still is okay for justice in the public spectrum. So I don't want you to get twisted what I'm about to say, because I'm about to say some hard things, okay? I'm just going to go ahead and give you a precursor. I'm going to give you some hard things tonight. I'm going to give you some hard preaching tonight. And it may surprise you when I say hard preaching. A lot of times when we hear hard preaching, we got something in our mind, and sometimes it's something totally opposite. I'm going to give you some hard preaching tonight. But before I do that, I want you to understand that this preaching and what Jesus is teaching is not taking the teeth out of the law. That's not what he's saying. There needs to be some teeth in the law. Our country was a lot safer when there was teeth in the law. I'm having a hard time moving on from that, Pastor. I really am. I'm having a hard time moving on to it. Moving on from it. Justice is right. And that's, Jesus is not correcting the teaching of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That teaching was so that justice would prevail. And I will say this. You know what? It wasn't all about the victim. It was also about the offender. I know that we don't like to think that, but it was. It was about the victim. Yes, they wanted justice to prevail for the victim, but it was also about the offender or the one that had done the offense, because if man had it his way, he'd get what he had coming to him and more. You understand what I'm saying? And so this law was given for protection of both. It was given for order. It was given for justice. And it's still right. Justice is still right in our society today. In a society that is trying to do away with justice, can I tell you, justice is still right. Amen. And Jesus is not correcting that. That is a correct precept. And so I think it's important that we understand that. So what is Jesus correcting? The Bible doesn't necessarily say, but I think as we look into it, we're going to see very clearly what he's correcting. He is not correcting that an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, that justice in the law. No, that's not what he's correcting. He is correcting the scribes and the Pharisees, how they had corrupted this precept, just like the other precepts. They had corrupted this precept. And as we look into it, hopefully it'll make some sense to you, but I believe it's pretty obvious once we look at it that they had made it personal. The scribes and the Pharisees had made this thing an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth a personal thing. They had took it into areas that it was not intended. I got so many notes here. I'm trying to decide what to say. They had made it personal into their everyday life, and God was saying, this is a precept that is for, it is for the public. It is a precept that is for the judicial system, for the judges and for the magistrates. And it's for the law, right? It's not for personal interaction. But they had gotten it, they had made it where it was personal. You do me wrong, I'll do you wrong. You do something to me, I'm going to do something to you. I'm going to retaliate. I'm going to get revenge. And I think as we look at that, as we look at this, we're going to see that that's what it was. I wrote this down. It wasn't about what was right as much as it was about their rights. Did you get that? It wasn't as much about what was right as it was about their rights. Let me give you an example that I think everybody understands. Abortion. Abortion is wrong. But there are people in our society that, you know what they'll say? They'll say, but it's my right. That's my right. I have a right to do with my body what I want to do, but it's not about what, it's about what is right, not about your rights. You understand what I'm saying? I hope you understand. That's the example. That's maybe not a perfect example, but that's what had happened. These Pharisees were all about their rights and not what was right. The law was given for justice, not so that they could have their rights, what they felt was right. And that's what they had done. They had corrupted this law to the point where they decided what justice was. And they retaliated how they thought it was fair to retaliate and not the way that the law said to retaliate. And so Jesus is correcting that corrupted precept. It's not about what's fair. It's about what's right. I had a conversation with my kids the other day. I'm not trying to embarrass any of them. Looking around. Lydia wanted to sit in the front seat. And she said, and Leah was sitting in the front seat, and she said, I want to sit in the front seat. Leah always gets to sit in the front seat. And if any of you that have kids, you know about this struggle. The front seat struggle. What is the big deal about the front seat? I don't know. But it's real, okay? And it spans generations, right? But I want to sit in the front seat. It's not fair. Leah always gets to sit in the front seat. And I've been studying this passage this week. And I said, Lydia, I said, it doesn't matter what's fair. What matters is what's right. And Leah deserves to sit in the front seat for numerous reasons. One, she's the oldest. Two, she works the hardest. No, maybe not. My kids are all going to be mad at me when I get home. Not that I really care. But I'm just playing. They all work hard. But Leah is a workhorse. She's the oldest. And any of you that have multiple children, you know about that oldest child. And that's where all the younger children are like, nuh-uh. Right? But that oldest child is a worker, right? And Leah had done a lot of work that day, and I thought she deserved to sit, and I thought it was her right to sit in the front seat. And so I said, it's not about what's fair, it's about what's right. She's the oldest. She does the most. It's right for her to sit in the front seat. And you know, a lot of times, we hear that all the time. It's not fair. You hear it at your house or on the job. It's not fair. It's not about what's fair. It's about what's right. And sometimes what we think is fair isn't always what's right. And that's what these scribes and these Pharisees had done. They had made it all about what they thought, their feelings, how they thought, what they thought was fair. And Jesus is telling them, it's not about what you think, right? And so he's correcting how they have corrupted this precept. So we see, number one, the precept. I want to look at the principle. How do you respond? This is the principle here, I believe, in the Sermon on the Mount. I hope I have not confused you. I've been working hard at trying to get this truth across without confusion, because this is some confusing stuff. And if I do, Pastor, get up and correct me afterwards, okay? I'm all for it, all right? I'm not too proud to be corrected. But this is the principle that I believe that Jesus is teaching. I really do. I believe this is what Jesus is teaching. Jesus is teaching, how do you respond to personal attacks? As we look through these examples that we're about to see here in a minute, you're going to notice something about every one of them. They're personal. They're just personal attacks. And Jesus is saying to these people that had taken this precept that was meant for the governing of the nation of Israel, it was a law for the land, they had taken it and they had made it personal, and they had tried to apply it to every area of their life. It's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And we'll see here in a minute. You insult me, I'm going to insult you. And Jesus is saying, as he said with all of these, let's get to the intent. Let's get to what's really at the heart of this matter. And what's at the heart of this matter is how do you respond when someone attacks you personally? And I want you to understand, this is not teaching that we don't have a right to defend ourselves, okay? I believe with all of my heart that Jesus, there's some people that say that Jesus is teaching that if you're attacked, you shouldn't attack back. If a country goes to war, it's an unjust war. I mean, there's all kinds of corrupt teaching from this text, but that doesn't, you can't take one teaching out of context and go against the other teachings of the Bible. And the Bible's very clear that we have a right to defend ourselves. Amen. It's very clear. Jesus told his disciples to take a sword with them when they went. What are they going to take a sword for if it wasn't to defend themselves? Now, I understand there's times where Jesus told them not to defend themselves. And Jesus didn't defend himself. But I don't think for one minute that this is teaching that if an intruder comes into my house and tries to harm my family, that I'm supposed to turn my cheek and let him do it. That's not what this is teaching. That's taking this teaching out of the context. That's becoming no different than the scribes and the Pharisees. That's corrupting the teaching. That's not what Jesus is teaching. You can't take all of these teachings. I think this is very important to understand too. You can't take everything that Jesus is saying here literally. You say, you can't take what Jesus says literally. He said, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. You think Jesus wanted them to cut their right hand off? You kind of look like, I don't know, Brother Dave. Maybe he did. No, he didn't. You think Jesus wanted them to pluck out their right eye? No, he didn't want them to do that. We looked at it last week. He said, swear not at all. But Paul swore. Jesus made an oath. God himself in Hebrews made an oath. So you can't just take it literally. No, Jesus is using these illustrations to teach a point. And so when you start trying to take this literally, it would be no different than taking, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. It would be like taking that literally and somebody showing up next Sunday with one arm. Say, what happened? Well, I done something I shouldn't have done. I got mad and I punched somebody at work, so I cut my right arm off. No, don't cut your arm off. It's not what Jesus is teaching. And that's not what he's teaching right here. It's the principle. It's the principle that Jesus is teaching. And the principle is this. How do you respond when you're attacked? That's the principle that I believe Jesus is teaching. And so let's look at it. Let's look at a couple of these attacks. Look at verse number 39. It says, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. You know, this is interesting. I don't know that I knew this, and I probably heard it before, and I just didn't catch it. Maybe you knew this. I don't think I knew this. When it says smite thee on thy right cheek, most people believe, and I would join them in this, that it's talking about a backhand. See, 80 or 90% of people are right-handed. How many people in here are left-handed? Raise your hand. Okay, it's about, looks like maybe 10% in here, more than I thought. But so maybe 15% still. 85% of people are right-handed. The Bible often talks about the right hand, right? And so if a man smite thee on thy right cheek, if I were to, Brian, will you come up here? I'm just joking. He was getting up. That's what I'm talking about, man. Y'all would have like seen that one. If I went to smack Brian like this right here, like we would think of a smack, I'm going to smack Brian on his left cheek. In order to smack Brian on his, I'm right-handed. In order to smack Brian on his right cheek, I have to backhand him. And so when they talk about if someone smite thee, verse number 39 says, but I say to thee, resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. This is talking about an insult. That was to insult someone. In that day, and there's verses of scripture that talks about someone being smited on the cheek. It was literally like an insult. It wouldn't be like sometimes when you think of that verse of scripture, I mean, we've all heard, when you get smited on it says turn the other cheek, that means theirs. Or it means turn the other cheek so you can swing back, right? It doesn't mean any of that, right? I don't think it's talking about a fist fight. It's talking about someone insulted someone. It's almost like they spat upon them. They smote them upon the face. It was an act of disrespect. And Jesus is asking these people, how are you going to respond when someone disrespects you? How are you going to respond when someone insults you? He's not talking about when someone attacks you. Now, there may be times when someone attacks you, the right thing to do is to turn the cheek and walk away. If you can, I believe that's the right thing to do. But if you're in harm's way and your life is being threatened and someone attacks you, I'm going to go on record as a preacher that says you have a right to defend yourself. But Jesus is not talking about that. He's talking about when someone insults you, when someone smites you on the right cheek, when someone insults your pride and someone disrespects your integrity, how are you going to respond? That's what Jesus is saying, because these people had made an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth very personal. You insult me, I'm going to insult you, and I'll insult you even worse. That's not the way a Christian should live. I told you, this is hard preaching. We think we know what hard preaching is. This is hard preaching. Somebody calls you a name, how do you respond? When somebody talks down to you, how do you respond? If someone were to disrespect you or to insult you, how are you going to respond? That's what Jesus is getting at. He's getting to the heart of the matter. He's trying to get them to understand this isn't about them. This is about you. See, they were looking at an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth about them. They're going to get what they deserve. And Jesus said, no, you need to look at you. That's what Jesus is always doing. He's always getting you to look at you. And he's always getting me to look at me. And he's saying, you got your eyes on the wrong one. You're worried about them, and you need to get more worried about you. And so he says, how do you respond when someone insults you? How do you respond when there's injustice? Look at verse number 40. He said, and if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. This is a hard verse of scripture. I've done a lot of research, a lot of reading, and I tell you, my spirit, a lot of stuff that I read, it just didn't add up with me. And I'm just going to tell you what I believe Jesus is teaching right here. I mean, let's just get it straight for one. This isn't like the biggest lawsuit in the nation at the time. You understand that, right? It's for his coat. It's his shirt. Okay, so let's just get that straight. It's personal. See, sometimes we try to make these things. We have to take what Jesus is teaching and we try to make it big. Okay, somebody comes after the church, you know, we have no right to defend ourselves. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. Don't take what he's teaching out of context. He's saying, hey, somebody comes after your coat. I mean, it's just, you know, somebody does something to you. And some people think that this is a just cause because they won the case. They sued them and they won their coat. I personally think it's unjust. And that's my second point. Number one, when you're insulted. Number two, when there's injustice. And I'll tell you why I think it's injustice is because in verse number 39, he said, I say unto you that ye resist not evil. You see that? Jesus is talking about evil. He's talking about when somebody comes after you with the wrong intention. It's important we understand what he's talking about. Do you see what I'm saying? Context is important. When somebody's coming after you and they have evil intention and they're trying to take advantage of you and they're trying to do something to you that's unjust, Jesus says, how are you going to respond? I tried to think of an example of a personal example, and I could give you probably many. I was telling my wife, this has happened so many times to me in the business world, and maybe some of you have been in this situation, or maybe even not in the business world in your personal life, but there's been situations where I've done work for someone, and then when the job was completed, they were not happy with what was done, and when I went to make it right, they didn't want me to make it right. And those of you that are in business for yourself are shaking your head, yes, because you've been there. Because it's obvious, most of the time when that happens, right is not what they're looking for. They don't want to pay you. And that's unjust. How am I going to respond? I can tell you how I have responded many times. You know what? If you're not happy, they say, well, I'll give you this amount, but I can't pay you the full amount because y'all didn't do all the work. And I say, you know what? If you're not happy, you don't have to give me anything. If you're not happy, you know, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You may not all believe that, but I do. And I'd rather lose a little money than walk around Greene County and Madison County, people saying David Oliver's a crook. And some of them are going to say that regardless. But if they say it, they're going to be lying by the grace of God. Because I'm always going to try to do what's right. And so that's what I believe this is teaching. A man comes and he sues you and it's unjust and he's trying to take your coat from you. He said, you know what? What's the big deal? Give him your cloak. I thought about Brother Edwards. Get over yourself. That's what Jesus is saying. But see, it's hard for us because our nature, can I tell you, revenge and retaliation is a natural instinct. Restraint is not. Did you hear that? Revenge and retaliation is natural. Restraint and resisting evil is not. When Jesus said resist evil, you know what he's saying? Restrain yourself. Paul said it like this in Romans. Don't give evil for evil. Don't return evil for evil. Recompense no man evil for evil. Restrain yourself. The little children back in the nursery, you don't have to teach them to retaliate. You have to teach them to restrain. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I have five of them. Ren is still learning the law of restraint. You do something to Ren around my house, it's on. One night, Emery was brushing her teeth, and they got a little stool they get on to brush their teeth, and Ren and Emery were in there kind of going back and forth, and I guess Emery won queen of the mountain and got up on the stool to brush her teeth first, and the next thing I know, I heard a big thump. Toothbrush, Emery, stool, Ren. What is that? Retaliation, right? You got on that stool, I'm taking it. That's just a natural instinct. But restraint is not. And Jesus is trying to get them to understand it's not always right to retaliate. Sometimes it's a lot better to restrain yourself. That's the principle that's being taught here in the Sermon on the Mount. The Pharisees and the scribes were teaching when somebody does you wrong, you do them wrong. Somebody insults you, you insult them. Someone tries to take advantage of you and do an injustice to you, you do an injustice to them. And Jesus says, no, 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 you're missing the whole point of the law. That's not what it's about. That's not what my kingdom is about. It's about the heart. Why do you want them to get that? Is it because of right? Is it because of righteousness? Or is it because of revenge? See, a lot of times we like to say, I want that because that's what's right. No, you want that because you want revenge. Can I tell you, we don't want what's right. You said, do you always want what you deserve? I'm glad I didn't get what I deserve. I'm glad God doesn't treat me that way. And every time I mess up and every time I do something I shouldn't do, I'm glad that God doesn't say, oh, I'm going to give you exactly what you deserve. Thank God he don't do that. And that's what he's teaching these disciples is don't live your life that way. And so when you're insulted, when there's injustice, when you're inconvenienced, look at verse number 41. He says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. I've heard some good preaching on these verses of scripture, but after studying it, they're so out of context. I'm just being honest with you. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus isn't teaching that we should go above and beyond. As a Christian, we should go above and beyond. But the intent of what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, hey, when somebody inconveniences you, when somebody does something that is an inconvenience to you, he says, don't get even. Go beyond. Right? He says, look at it. Look at it again. He says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. I think most of you have been in church long enough that you know a little bit about what's being told here. In that day, the Roman soldiers could come up to someone that was within the Roman province there, which would be these Jewish people. A Roman soldier, if he was on duty for the king and he was delivering a message or he was carrying some stuff, he could walk up to someone at any time that was in that kingdom and he could say, I want you to drop what you're doing right now and I want you to walk a mile and carry this load. And that was a rule of the kingdom. And it didn't matter what you were doing. If you were told, hey, carry this a mile, you had to carry it a mile. There were so many steps, they say, that you had to carry. An example of that in the New Testament would be that when Jesus was carrying his cross, they made that man carry the cross of Jesus, right? Simon, right? They asked Simon to carry the cross, right? Who did that? The Roman soldiers. Because that was a law of the land in that day. And so Jesus says, hey, if someone comes to you and they tell you to drop what you're doing and you carry that load a mile, he said, hey, you carry it 2 miles. And what he's teaching is, if someone inconveniences you, how are you going to respond? How do you respond when somebody does something to you that's inconvenient? They put you out. How do you respond to that? I just had that in my mind, Brother Brandon, that time Wayne made me drive all the way to, you know, Blue Ridge School. I thought I was taking him 2 miles and ended up taking him 20 miles. Told me to carry him home, and next thing you know, home was where he was house setting 2 counties over. No, I'm just playing. But you've been inconvenienced like that, right? Somebody asked you to do something and it wasn't what you were expecting to do, and you know how you want to respond? Retaliation. How dare you make me drive all the way out of my way? How dare you get into my time? How dare you inconvenience me? Jesus said, why? Why do you do what you do? What is the intent of your heart when someone insults you, when there's injustice to you, when you've been inconvenienced, when you've been imposed upon? Look at verse number 42. I think this is the key to it all right here. He says, give to him that asketh thee. And from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Can I go ahead and just go on record and tell you, this isn't saying that every time somebody asks you for something, to give it to them. That's not what this is teaching. That would go against other scripture. The Bible says if a man won't work, he ought not eat. You can't take this verse of scripture and tell me that I'm supposed to give the man standing on the corner with a cardboard sign money. Now, if God leads me to do that, that's fine. I'm not going to give him money, but if God leads me to buy him a meal, that's great. That's Christian love. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not what this is teaching. Jesus isn't saying, oh, if somebody is trying to take advantage of you, then you ought to just, you know, you can't say no, right? This isn't welfare. It's not what this is teaching. No, Jesus is saying when somebody imposes upon you, so he said when somebody insults you, when there's an injustice done to you, when someone inconveniences you, when somebody imposes upon you, that word impose means to take advantage of. And you say, but they don't deserve my help. It's not about what they deserve. It's about what you desire. I'm getting ready to move on. I'm almost done. We got to get that. It's not about what they deserve. It's about what do you desire. Why don't you want to help them? When somebody has a need, when somebody comes to you and imposes themselves upon you and asks of you and wants to borrow from you, why is it that you don't want to help them? Is it because they don't deserve it? Is that what it is? You say, well, they don't deserve my help. Or is it because of your desire? It's what's in your heart. You just don't want to help because they don't deserve my help, right? How do we respond in these areas of life? It tells a lot about us. Jesus is asking, how do you respond? Is it an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? Do you only do for others what they do for you? We're going to get into that later in this sermon. The golden rule. Is that all you want? Is that how you want to live? You do to others as they do to you? I'll be honest with you. I was preparing this message, and there were so many times, Pastor, I thought about you. I can't tell you the times that I've seen our pastor in every one of these scenarios. Insulted, inconvenienced, done unjustly, imposed upon. And I've watched him respond like a Christian. Amen. How am I going to respond? Go give them what they deserve? They don't deserve my help. They don't deserve my forgiveness. They don't deserve for me to overlook that insult. Jesus said, how do you respond? Is it because it's right or because of revenge? You know, this is foreign to American Christianity, but it's Bible Christianity. I understand. I'm talking to Americans tonight. We got our rights. Are you listening to me? I know this is hard preaching, ain't it? This is hard preaching. We live in a country where it's justice for all. And as I said, I sure am glad I didn't get justice. I don't think we can live by that motto in our personal lives. Now, publicly, within the magistrate and the judicial system, justice. Justice. Justice should prevail at all times. But in our personal lives, when someone insults us, when someone inconveniences us, when someone is unjust to us, when someone imposes themselves upon us, how do we respond? It's very important. So we see the principle. Now I want to give you last the priority or the protection. We've looked at these every time. You say, how am I going to do that? That's hard, Brother David. I know it is. I'll give you two things real quick. We'll be done. I'll tell you how you're going to do it. Number one, you have to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself, or you have to die to self. Lester Roloff, I believe, is the one that used to say this. You can't hurt a dead man. I think Lester Roloff is also the one that said he used to roll out of the bed. For years, I used to try to do that every day. I used to pray that prayer. Lester Roloff, I believe it was, said he'd roll out the bed and lay in a coffin. Can't tell you the times I'd get up in the morning and I lay on my face and I say, God, make this a coffin. Help me die to me. God, help me die to David Oliver and live for you. That's what Paul said. I am crucified with Christ. You know what that means? I died. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You say, how am I going to respond when somebody insults me, when somebody inconveniences me, when there's injustice done to me, when someone imposes upon me? How am I going to respond the right way? By dying to self and letting Christ live through you. That's the only way we're going to do it. Our flesh doesn't like to be insulted. I wrote down here, you can't hurt a dead man. The problem in all these scenarios that Jesus gives is me. You insulted me. You did injustice to me. You inconvenienced me. You imposed upon me. And Jesus said, it's not about you. Get over yourself. Die to you. Die to yourself. Live for Christ. Jesus said this. He said, if any man will be my disciple, he said this at another place. If any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Say, how am I going to do it, Brother David? When somebody does me wrong, how am I not going to respond in retaliation? How am I not going to get revenge when somebody does me wrong? You're going to die to self. And you're going to realize you can't hurt a dead man. You can't insult a dead man. You can't impose upon a dead man. You can't inconvenience a dead man. Paul said, I die daily. The Apostle Paul, he said that in the Bible. I die daily. Every day, Paul said, I've got to die to self. Why? Because I'm going to be insulted. Can I tell you, I don't know that there was any human being outside of the Lord Jesus more insulted than the Apostle Paul. More inconvenienced than the Apostle Paul. Treated more unjustly than the Apostle Paul. Imposed upon more than the Apostle Paul. But you know what Paul had down? He died to self. He learned to deny himself. It wasn't about him. Paul got over himself, as Brother Edwards told us. And so you got to deny yourself. And then last, you got to depend upon the Savior. Go to Romans 12 and I'll close here. Romans 12. This is New Testament Christianity, brother. It's hard preaching, but it's New Testament Christianity. We like that eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's what our flesh likes. You talk about me, you insult me, I'll insult you. You inconvenience me, I'll inconvenience you. You make my life hard, I'll make your life hard. But that's not Christianity. That's not kingdom living. That's not what Jesus has come to teach and to preach. Romans chapter number 12. Look at verse number 17. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. I quoted that earlier. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, look at this. This, it doesn't get any clearer than this, brother. Not that I feel like I'm getting any. I feel like everybody's receiving this well, but it's easy to receive. It's another thing to live. We might find out tomorrow how hard this is. Get to work in the morning and somebody inconveniences you right off the jump. Monday morning inconveniences happen all the time. How are we going to respond? Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't get revenge. But rather, give place unto wrath. For it is written, look at this, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Look at this, verse 21. Be not overcome of evil. That's resist not evil. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what Jesus is teaching. That's the intent of this precept. Jesus said, you missed it. You think it's about getting even. You think it's about getting revenge. I'm talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. You think it's about them getting what they deserve. And Jesus said, that's not what it's about. It's about you. How are you going to respond? What's your reason? What's in your heart? It's the spirit of the law that Jesus is emphasizing, not the letter. That's so important. As we look through this Sermon on the Mount, that's why there's so much false teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. People want to take it by the letter of the law. You know what happens when you take the Sermon on the Mount by the letter of the law? You become like the scribes and Pharisees. And you start corrupting the teaching. He's not talking about the letter of the law. He's talking about the spirit of the law. It's about the heart. I mentioned last week about lying. And I went home and I thought about this. I said, you know, I talked about lying. You know, there's a difference between an intentional lie and an unintentional lie. Sometimes you tell a lie. I told y'all the one about me going to work last week. And he's like, oh, that's a silly illustration. I told Dale that I used that illustration. And Dale said, oh, man, you wasn't lying. I said, yes, I was, Dale. Now, I have unintentionally lied before. Just said something and just, you know, didn't mean. My intent was not to lie. It was just, you know, you talk too much, you say the wrong stuff sometimes. And I talk too much. And so, much speaking, the Bible says something about that, right? We'll look at that. That's another sermon. But you don't intentionally lie. You can't take it by the letter of the law. It's the spirit of the law. When I lied, I was intentionally lying. I wanted him to think I was further along than I was. That's a lie. You can't take it literally. What Jesus is teaching here, you can't live by the letter of the law here. He's not telling them to live by the letter of the law. He's saying live by the spirit of the law. The Pharisees live by the letter of the law, and your righteousness has got to exceed their righteousness. It's not the letter of the law. It's the spirit of the law. It's the heart. Where is your heart in these matters? And so I just wonder tonight, when somebody does you wrong, when somebody treats you in a negative way, when somebody attacks you, how do you respond? It'd be good for us to examine ourselves. Let's try to respond the way Jesus said respond, the way Paul said respond. Deny ourselves. Depend on the Savior. That was my last point. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You know, there's some things you just got to say, I'm going to let the Lord take care of that. I'm going to let God take care of that. They done me wrong, but you know what? I'm not going to sweat it. God will take care of it. Can I tell you, I've been done wrong in business. Those of you who have been in business for yourself, you've been done wrong. I've been done wrong in business, but can I tell you this? God's always taking care of me. You do right, God will take care of you. Just do the right thing. You can never go wrong doing right. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pastor, I'm going to ask the pianist to come, and I'm going to turn it over.